Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome back to part two of this episode of Mostly Lit. We are discussing mental health, we're discussing trauma, and we're discussing recoverability and all sorts of really tough topics throughout the book of A Little Life by Hanya Yanagihara. So if you are triggered or have some kind of connection with these events that we talk about in the book, please, 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 we are not offended if you have to pause, not listen, or skip the episode. Thanks so much. Look forward to hearing your thoughts. Talk soon. Bye.
I'm Ray.
I'm Alice Reed.
Okay, well, welcome back to another episode of
Mostly Lit. Jude is just the core, I guess.
Jude's the plot of the story.
He's just the plot. He's just the one that kind of helps the symphony continue, I guess. Because without Jude, who's to say that any of them would even be friends? Do you see what I mean?
He was invisible earlier on, though. In their high school, he was just there, not really giving information, not really talking.
College. University, yeah.
Yeah, they weren't. There would always be a group, but he would always be the one. Like, people will share information about their childhood and stuff, but Jude will always not. And I think the story, the reason why I say he's the plot is because the whole book is about finding out about Jude's life and he's about his past. And it's about the different characters coming into that lesson, although most of them didn't know. Only Andy, who was Jude's doctor, that we find out later on in the story, and Willem. That really knew. And then later on, Harold, who...
His adoptive father. Yeah. His professor.
That was so beautiful. Yeah. Like, when he... Anyway, so Jude. Jude is a guy who... his mother left him at a dumpster as a kid. And he got taken in. But we don't know any of this when we start. He got taken in by a church.
A monastery.
Yeah. A monastery, that's it, yeah.
Yeah. So he grew up with monks.
He grew up with who?
Benedictine monks.
Yeah.
Benedictine monks. But then, we enter the story, obviously, they're in their 20s, and he's like... they've just left, they've just graduated. I think they're all doing their post-grad stuff.
Yeah. Because you know how,
they're all doing their post-grad stuff.
But then it goes, most of that chapter is back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Jude is, you know, in crutches, and he has these spasms in his leg.
Yes.
And they're moving into Lespinard Street, and he's like, you know, there's no lift, so he has to kind of order up these stairs, and he doesn't like people feeling sorry for him, so he doesn't complain. Jude's one of them guys, he doesn't complain, even when he's in pain. Yeah. He doesn't do any of that, because he's like...
Trying to be accommodating.
He doesn't want to draw attention to it. So, like, he knows how to deal with it himself. He doesn't want to. He's not bringing it out to anybody. Mm-hmm. But Jude's the core of this story, and he has severe trauma and mental health.
Severe
trauma, mental health. I mean, like, they all have. In phases of the book, they all have bad mental health.
Yeah.
But Jude is the only one that doesn't seem to be getting better.
But it's not even that. It's like his one is like...
It's trauma-based.
Trauma-based.
From deep unresolved issues.
And other people causing him.
Yeah.
No, it's not like, oh, you know, my father was not you know, working so much, so I never got to see him. It was...
Yeah, he was sexually abused.
Sexually abused.
He was abandoned. Crippled. Yeah, like, there was just... He went in and out of the...
Domestically hurt.
In and out of the system. And one of the beautiful things about the book, even though it was horrible, it was like, you really explore self-love through Jude. Mm.
You
explore,
madly.
Yeah, you explore how, you know, people that are suicidal and have been, and have like, have really encompassed that part of their identity in their life, how they view things.
And how they get to that stage.
And obviously it is trauma. And for some people it's a release to self-harm. Mm-hmm. And
self-harm is a big thing that literally is like through beginning to end of this book. Mm-hmm.
And he was like, and he just basically had so many things that he didn't want to talk about. People were trying to get him into therapy, and he wouldn't go, and we didn't talk about anything. And when we find out through flashbacks that he's been like that since he was 15, he didn't want to talk about any of the things that he'd been through.
And there was this social worker who took him out of everything, and told him just before she died, like, you need to talk about this, because if you don't, it will build, and it will be harder to talk about it later on in the years. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't talk about it until the very end.
Yeah.
And even then, it's not even talking, it's writing.
Yeah. And this is like, and this is his life, and he can't do it. Mm. And it's...
He trusts, so in the end, he ends up trusting Willem with it, but it's like so far down the line that you're like...
There's nothing else that you can do. And the thing is, obviously, Willem's the right person to do this and stuff, and to understand and to know what has been happening.
But even when he finds out, they're like in their room inside a cupboard, and he's telling him everything, and they have to stop. He goes to the bathroom to puke. Willem goes to the bathroom to puke, and he can't, you know, he wakes up with nightmares. So somebody that hasn't even gone through it is waking up with nightmares. And what's not great, but also I think a very great tactical device about this book, is the reader is also not invited into Jude's past until
Jude's ready,
and it's like flashbacks here and there. So he drops things like Brother Luke, Dr. Taylor, that night of the accident, and we're like, what's going on here? And after certain things happen, you get a full run through, and that's why it's like, wait until page 400, because then you find out about this thing that happened to him when he was 10.
Yeah.
Wait until page 700 when you find out about thing that happened when he was 15.
It felt like...
Oh my God.
It felt like a DJ Khaled. And another one.
Right? And another one. I remember speaking to Alex and being like... And thing is, for me, it, like, the whole self-harming thing, when he was doing it, I couldn't understand it. Do you know what I mean? I couldn't understand it. I was like, what are you doing? Please don't do this to yourself. Like, but the more you find out about things, the more you're like, okay. There was a time when he was younger, because with the self-harming thing, this guy who was pimping him off and sexually abusing him basically told him, because he was like walking down a flight of stairs and he tripped, and he was in so much pain, guys. So much pain, that like internal pain, that him like falling felt amazing because he was so numb inside. And the way Hanya described it, I literally choked up. Like, he was just a young boy, and so he was like, this is the only thing that could wake him up into the real world, pain. And he just started like falling and hitting himself on walls.
Yeah.
And then the guy was like, instead of doing that, like, here's a razor, here's some tissues, and just cut yourself.
Yeah.
And this thing, he kept on doing it for the rest of his life. And I couldn't, when we got there, this was like more than halfway through, I was like, what is going on here?
Yeah, see, you're like everything, like, I was like, what? Like, he told him
to cut himself, to make himself feel bad, to release himself from the pain.
And the only way that he believed that, and the only reason he believed that, is because he believed that that man loved him.
Yeah. Because, guys, the self-loathing in this book here is mad, because Jude did not love himself, but only because he has been put through so much that he thought he deserved all of the things that happened to him. He thought he was dirty. He thought he wasn't worthy of love. And the one person that did all of this to him, or made it even worse, because he was already getting sexually abused in the monastery, and then this other, you know, brother Luke comes, runs away with him. And then instead of helping him, but he was treating him so nice that when he started pimping him off to other people, he thought that that was love. Telling him stories about how much I love you and, oh, you're my son, but now you're my boyfriend. Oh, when we have babies, when we're going to live in the lakes and have a beautiful house in the woods. And these stories built up into this young boy to the point they were cemented up until adulthood. And he never spoke a bad word about Brother Luke. He fully thought that this man loved him. And so anything he said was gospel. So he cut himself because Brother Luke had given him the tools to deal with his pain, the same pain that he was causing. Like, you're being made to sleep with these men. You are dead inside. You cannot function. You are being used as a rag. And somebody presents a way out to feel pain because you need to feel pain because you can't feel anything, and you take it. And it got so mad that in the end, I was like, I get it. And when he was cutting, God forbid, I felt better. I felt the relief for him. I couldn't believe it. From going from being so confused as to why you're doing this to understanding the full gravity of your trauma, to the point where it's like, you know what? If you need to do 1-2 cuts today, that cool, do that.
Yeah.
It got to the point where I was telling Alex, if he kills himself, I will be fine with it.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd get to that place. That I got to the place where it was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's fine with me.
Because he's going through so
much. I was like, I was so willing to help him kill himself. That was like the end, guys. At the end, I was like, yeah, I'm ready.
Yeah.
If you need to do that.
but then it's juxtaposed by the love that he gets from Harold.
Yeah,
you see what I mean. So that's why. So that's what I mean. So like all the interactions that Jude has had with men up until this point, like up and throughout his life, all the interactions he's had with men, he's only ever known sexual relationships with men. He's only ever known intimate relationships with men. He's only ever known that. By which, even the sexual relationships, obviously, they were abusive. He's only ever known this. And then the only female personal relationship he's had was with his foster
mother,
with the social worker, and then obviously Harold's wife Julia. Those are the only female relationships that are introduced into his life.
Because I remember when Willem was like, maybe you'd want, because he doesn't, obviously, from all this abuse, sex is not something that he enjoys. Yeah. It's very traumatic for him. And he was like, have you ever thought about women? And he was like, no, I haven't.
It's just, and that kind of makes you think, like, what his experience is kind of like dictated
everything.
What he believed was right and what was wrong, or you know what I'm saying, or like what fit and what didn't fit, and all these different things. So
I think the anger came from, there was so much pain, but then there was so much love that he just didn't
know how to deal with it.
He didn't have to deal with it.
Different facets and different expressions and explosions of love and all that stuff.
When he got adopted, guys, like when Harold and Julia were like, because he was always worried about losing their friendship. This was his professor who he grew really close with, and he was always worried about losing their friendship. And then one day they called him and he was like, oh my God, they're going to tell me to not stop seeing them. You know, like maybe I won't be invited to their dinners anymore. This is like, he's like in his 30s at this point.
Yeah.
And then they sit him down and they're like, we love you so much. We want to adopt you.
And he's like, what?
My heart at that point, I fully was tingling.
Yeah.
But the leading up to his adoption, he was self-harming so much because he was so anxious.
Yeah.
And Harold. Because
he was like, what if it doesn't happen? Yeah. What if he gets to the point and they just say, oh, they don't want.
Because why would they want me?
Yeah, why would they want me?
I'm dirty. Like, I'm diseased.
I'm this old.
They don't know about me. He thought that he was lying to them because there's so much. He was like, Harold, I don't think you want to do this. There's so much you don't know about me. I just don't think that you actually should want have me as a son. And Harold's like, the worst thing you could have done. Like, I want to be your parent. Yeah. I want to be your father. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
And so he has so much love
around him. He just doesn't know how to kind of like what. It's not the love that he's been presented with. So he doesn't know that that is love. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's just people thing. So, and he has to build up trust and he has to build up all that stuff. And which I would say that he does build up trust. He does build up that level of understanding of what trust is. It's just that
I think there's always a level of doubt, though, for me.
He's had to, yeah, he had to learn things, but then there's also just that little bit inside of him.
To the very end.
Yeah.
Because, like, certain things that, like, Willem will do in the end, when Willem got so mad that he wasn't coming out, the balance of their relationship, he just was like, even if he does really, like, horrible things, I'll be okay because he shows me this little bit of love and affection. He, even to the end, like, even Harold, like, he had so many, like, bone diseases and stuff that he started fantasizing, or sorry, like, hallucinating about Harold beating him and things like that. And he couldn't get close to him after that because he doubted that. Do you know what I mean? And I think what it represents is the absolutely fundamental importance of childhood development and being raised. Because that shit stays with you forever.
And you can never, ever get it 100% right, I don't think.
No.
But you can at least give your child a damn sure good enough start.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And that's kind of what, if you're able to, and if you've basically unlocked your own trauma, and if you're able to do that. So it all really just depends on where does it stop and where does it begin? Because I would say it stopped with Jude. Obviously, he didn't have any kids, etc. But it stopped with Jude. Now, if he was able to have children and did so, then he would never have had children. Yeah. But, like, you know what I'm saying? But if he was...
Willem, I'm so angry because I feel like Willem should have had a kid.
Yeah.
Oh my God, he would have been an amazing father.
Yeah. And it's the thing, like, where does that trauma stop? And what are you trying to impart on the next child that you bring into the world? And this is why I'm very, very, very particular with those kind of conversations, because, and I'm always like, you know, if you're going to, like I always say, if you're going to bring children into the world, you can't always plan it, but have the idea that you're going to bring them in and make their life so different to what you experienced, like mental health wise, physical health wise, education. Like, just try your best to make sure that they have the best possible kind of beginning, and then until they can make their own choices, you know? So you give them emotional kind of, like, support, give them physical support, like, you give them
financial
support. Yeah. Like, you try your best to give them as much financial support as possible. That also depends on you, where you come from.
But love.
But also know where you're coming from with that. Know what you... Because one thing I hate seeing is repeated patterns. From parents to child to their child to their child. You know, I hate seeing repeated
patterns. Break that generational.
It becomes less and less as you go through the generations. But, you know, like, if your parents are not together and stuff, but if it was a very toxic environment and stuff, and then you get with somebody and you create a toxic environment, don't stay there bringing the child up in that toxic environment, but also be aware of what's happening. You know what I mean? Like, and a lot of people obviously get attracted to the things we're exposed to and know, you know what I mean? So it's not anybody's fault, but it's that awareness of just being like, okay, cool. Like, this was a very toxic thing. All right, let's figure out how we can do this for the benefit of X child and then move from there and then have those conversations as they grow older. But
I think both things are just unsaid.
Yeah.
All these characters, have their child, like, they are still manifestations of their inner child, even as adults.
Mm-hmm.
Like Willem, as a child, he had to raise his disabled brother. In a way, he was doing the same thing to Jude.
Right,
he was looking after him, being there for him, providing that love. Do you know what I mean? Jude was abused so much, he couldn't think outside of, like, he didn't even think, let's protect myself, let me get better. He was like, yeah, I'm shit, I'm a human, I'm a terrible human being. And he thought these things even later on in life. JB was coddled and loved upon and given all of these things. And when he had to move away and he no longer had these things, look at the struggles that he went through, always trying to find that love and trying to find somebody. And Malcolm was just from day, like, he just didn't fit. And he had that identity crisis, and even when he got older he started having crises in the decisions that he's making. So I'm like, the being young, like those formative years from like 0 to like 16 or whatever, the things that you go through. And I loved about this book is like it really made me think about like my own, like how I am to people based off of like how I was raised, or do you know what I mean? Like just random shit.
Mm.
I'm just like, oh, like it makes sense that I do these things because this is how I was brought up. And just like going through therapy and understanding that, but it's so hard to retrain it. Because yeah. every decision you have to think.
You have to be willing to retrain it as well. Yeah. You have to be willing to see those patterns.
Yeah.
You have to be willing to see that kind of, to understand where they're coming from. And you have to be wanting to change.
Mm.
Like, and there's no point in like being aware of all this stuff and not wanting to change. I'm a big, you know, I have this thing about using trauma to kind of like, as part of your identity.
I hate it.
And it kind of makes me feel really... like, because I mean, I do understand that everybody has traumatic experiences and varying levels.
Yeah.
Varying levels. Everybody's got a different experience. I try not to be defined by those traumatic experiences. I mean, I've had a good relationship with ex relative or ex friend mm-hmm. or ex what's it called, authority figure or whatever. But I try not to let that infringe on the person I want to be. Do you see what I'm saying?
And then, it's hard though because sometimes you are so in the circle, you don't see what you want to be.
It's as you said, isn't it? It's like it's work. It's hard to try and unpin that. Yeah. And those are very difficult things to do. And it does take a lot of willpower and it takes a huge support system. It takes a lot of time with self. And then this is kind of why Jude found it so hard to unpick that
mm-hmm.
because he didn't have the willpower to resist cutting himself. He didn't have the willpower to...
He didn't trust anybody to not turn around and hurt him.
Yeah. It didn't help him. All the trauma that he experienced really inflicted his support networks that he had. He couldn't do it. Like, and that's understandable based upon what he's experienced. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
But even like when he got older,
but with
Caleb, for instance, like, so there was a man when he's big man, like big rich man now.
What do you mean big rich man? Like, when Jude and Caleb, yeah, they're like in their late 30s.
So he's like a lawyer at a big firm now. He's got his beautiful apartment and he meets this man who in the beginning, obviously, as with any toxic individual, he's all charming, you know, and then he gets into a physical relationship with him, even though he hates it. And this man is just a horrible human being, essentially. And
who has his own level of trauma he needs to deal with.
Because he was like, Jude, obviously disabled, and he uses his wheelchair sometimes. And this other guy had parents who were sick and he hated seeing weakness. And that whole thing, I'm telling you, literally, I was fucking losing it. Because...
I wasn't expecting any of that to happen.
Same. And so Caleb was literally telling him, I don't want to see you weak around me. He abused him sexually, physically.
Mentally.
And
Not sexually. He didn't sexually abuse him.
No, he did. He wrecked him
Oh, yeah.
He wrecked him mad times.
Yeah. So.
And what was the horrible part to read was... Jude almost used this experience as an affirmation to everything that he thought he was based off of his past experience. So never did he think what Caleb is doing to me is wrong. We never heard that. That idea never came. It was almost like, I deserve this.
Mm.
He stayed with him because he deserved it. And then
he affirmed everything that he was thinking.
Exactly. Everything that he was thinking, he was like, yes, this is what I am. And sometimes we use... The reason why, like, the whole time I'm reading this and I'm like, Jude, like, you have autonomy. Get out of this situation. But I was pathetic, and because I remember telling you, like, why is he doing this? Da, 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 da. He's a big man. And in my head, I'm like, I don't want to blame the victim, but the victim does not have that thought in his head.
But you have to look at what it's based off of.
Yeah. Like, he doesn't have the idea of, I can get out of this. Because if this is what you truly believe you are, and this is what you truly believe you deserve... Because of that lack of worth that is instilled in you as a child, or sometimes you lose it here and there, but nobody gave him that, and so this was a physical, real life manifestation of everything that he thought he was,
mm-hmm.
and I think when I realized that, I was like, it makes sense, like. it's so hard sometimes when you are in such a horrible situation and everyone's like, just get out of it. Like, what's your problem? Like, you have the power. Just get out.
And you're like, they're like, oh, use your power of thought to get out of it. And I was just like, okay, so, and it's what I'm saying, like, things like this and obviously personal experiences and stuff just kind of made me really think about, like, all right, when you're trying, when you're empathetic and you're being empathetic to a situation, but you then truly don't know the extent to which this person is experiencing these things, you know? It took Willem 25 years, almost 30 years, to find out what was going on with Jude. Some people expect that. Some people expect that. Tell me now.
Yeah.
Tell me everything now.
Yeah. Which is personally me. Yeah. Like, but that's what I would have, before I would have expected. Yeah,
but for me, I was like, I'm very much like, all right, in your own time. Because I'm like, I know that some people can't articulate. Sometimes you can't find the words. And it becomes a thing where it's like, oh, I can't articulate what I'm saying. I'm not, but he or she's not forcing me to tell them. Do they care? And you're just like, you care, but I have to let you find out whether you are safe enough or feel secure enough to tell me these things.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pry those things out of you because that in itself is abusive.
Very.
I find.
It's so weird. We're like,
you let people
totally
in.
Different.
Yeah.
Because I got so angry with Willem sometimes for not forcing him to talk earlier on. So earlier on, when there was a time when, like, he was harming himself elsewhere and Willem was in Lisbonard Street and he knew that this was happening. And in my head, I'm like, go and stop him. What the fuck are you doing? What kind of friend are you? How dare you? Like, you are not a good friend. Like, you know this is happening. You know he's hurting. You're just there, like, awkwardly. And you feel bad inside, but you're not doing anything about it. And I was like, actually, like, later on, I was like, I see. That's why I'm like, this book, like, Willem taught me so much, like, love, because it was like, or like my initial thing is to be like, tell me what's going on. We can fix this. We've got this. Like, I can write you a plan. How are we going to do it? And also, I guess it was almost egotistical in, like, a lot of the times when people bring me problems or, like, when people don't say shit, because I'm such a sharer, like, I'm somebody that can speak and that's my medium of working through shit. It's when I don't speak, that's when people should be really worried. Yeah, do you know what I mean? And so it's like,
tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah, I'm like, anybody can talk. Just, it's okay. Like, come on. But you don't really get it. And the ego part of it is, you're not talking to me, therefore I must not be important to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one thing that plagued, like, that's one thing I really unlearned with this book. It's like, I used to always be that person that used to be like, well, if I'm sharing and you're not sharing, therefore the balance of our relationship isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
There must be someone that you're sharing to. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's not the case. Whereas, like, with Willem, he was very much told Jude everything about his life. There was no secrets on his end. Whereas Jude told him nothing up until, God, they were like nearly 40.
Mm.
So initially I was like, how can you have that relationship? But when there is deep trauma, it's, you literally have to give that person, sometimes you have to be okay with not knowing, even to the very end. Because sometimes just being there is helping. And I think that's what I learned. Because I was like, excuse me, your friend is self-harming in the bathroom and you're just going to stay there? Are you dumb? Are you crazy? In the end, I was like, Joe, please don't disturb. Let him do what he needs to do.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Sometimes you have to let these things happen. But again, it's a novel about maturity and like maturing in your emotions, maturing in your careers, maturing in your friendships, maturing in your relationships and all that stuff. And then what that means for all the stuff that you've experienced in this little life that you have. And it is an absolute fantastic book. And I would say to everybody, if we haven't spoiled it too much for you, I'd say read it.
I don't think read it when you're
read it with an open heart and when you're ready to read it.
Someone told me like survivors and stuff like sexual abuse survivors whether they should read it, and I personally wouldn't because
I went in into it at a point in my life where I was like, woo, a lot of triggers were happening in this book. However, I would say you can always put it down.
This is it.
If you get to a point where it's triggering, put it down.
Because it's not going to get better.
Put it down, close it, just say it in there because it doesn't get better.
It doesn't get better. It does not get better. Like, this is it. Up until the very end. Yeah,
until you've dealt with it. Or, you know what? Have a support group when you read it.
Yes, it helped a lot.
Because I read it with my friend. And then obviously when you read it, you had... And maybe my other friend that I hadn't spoken to in years, when we reconnected and started speaking again, she was like, oh my God, have you read A Little Life? Yeah. And I'm like, I am like on page 600. Yeah. And she's like, she had this book that said, I am Jude Willem, Malcolm and Jamie.
Oh, that's lovely.
I want that t-shirt. But like, and then she's
I'll
like,
say, yeah, put it down but if you can't.
Have a support system when you're doing it as well. Even like Josh Rivers from the Busy Being Black podcast, he was like, I remember him reading it on Instagram once and there was just tears. And he was just like on the tube and he was like, why am I crying? And I was like, why is he crying over this book?
You know, when I got it, my wardrobe. And I just sat and I had to catch a flight and I was late for my flight. But I was like, I physically cannot.
I threw the book. I threw it across this room. I was like, I'm done.
Because there was a point at the end, when everybody just started dropping off. Because they're getting older, innit?
Yeah.
And so we haven't talked about Andy. Andy is Jude's doctor.
But they're all friends.
They're all like really good friends.
They're all friends. They all met in uni, but there's the core friendship of the four. But...
Yeah, and then Jude is a doctor. And for me,
Andy's a doctor, yeah.
Sorry, Andy's a doctor. And I personally really resonated with Andy because he's equal measure, hardcore love and intimate love, like calm love. And I really, just really connected with him and how he dealt with Jude because he was like, what are you doing? We're going to fix this. But at the same time, when shit just went off the edge, he just, crying the tears, the love was there and the sensitivity was there as well. And I think I love that growth in Andy. But, who's that?
Turn it off. Andy. Empathize with Andy.
Sorry, I just missed my order, my Zara order. What am I gonna do?
Wait, where did they put it?
They took it away. Sorry,
the
delivery guy called me. He's like, I'm outside.
But they wouldn't. Isn't there a box office? You can leave it in the flat.
Sorry, we missed your delivery. Oh no, what am I gonna do? I have my heels and it's delivering. Your Zara will be delivered on the 7th. So what? I have to start work looking ugly. With my ugly heels and I don't have shoes. What am I going to do? I know you don't want to hear this, but...
I have no idea what... my question is, where are they putting your...
They're going to re-deliver it. So they're taking it away.
Is there no way they're putting it that you can go and get it?
If you wish, you can schedule your order to receive on the 7th in one of the following slots.
You're actually annoying, but I can understand why that's frustrating. You have no heels for Monday.
I have no heels for Monday.
Heels off.
Oh wait, yeah, and I can't even put 10 to because I start work at 10.
How about? Can you not redirect it to someone's house, someone else?
What, to arrive on Monday?
I don't know where they're taking it.
That's what I'm saying. Why can't you just put it at the post office?
Yeah.
Because that was my intention.
Mm.
Oh, no, the post office. That's what... Oh, God, I wanted to go to the post office. Oh, my God. Anyways, let's continue. This was a nice No. Oh my God.
Okay.
I'm screwed.
Do you not have any shoe? Do you not have any shoe that you can wear?
I actually have to go and buy a shoe tomorrow.
I'm finished.
I hope my ASOS delivery comes late. Anyways,
okay.
Guys, well, I'm so stressed.
Let's round it up then there. Based on based on deliveries that ain't coming. yeah. What are you watching? Mostly flicks.
Anyways, all right, mostly flicks. I'm watching New Amsterdam, obviously. Absolutely adore it. I'm going to start, or I have started, Top Boy.
Oh, okay.
Because everyone's been like, oh, watch it, watch it, watch it. Amy from Lights Off is like, yeah, watch it, watch it, watch it. Oh my God, I'm watching it. Yeah,
apparently Kano's like, performance is really good, yep. So I need to figure out. I need to go watch it.
Oh, is it Kano, the one that's dating Adele now?
Skepta.
It's not, is it Skepta?
Yes.
I know who it is.
I know. So why are you even asking this question?
I don't know, but...
It's not Kano.
Skepta's hot, because I saw a picture of him. I said, yes.
He's the one that dated Naomi Campbell.
Yeah, he's hot, but yeah, no, he's hot, he's hot. He could get it, he's hot. But I don't think they actually dated Naomi Campbell and him. I don't think they actually did.
I think they did.
Yeah.
I think they did.
I see it with Adele. Adele's hood. Adele's from ends. Adele's that bitch. Anyways, I see that. I see that happening.
Adele, I just got, oh, just her just singing Monster, Laughing Monster. I was just like, what is this with?
Oh, man.
Adele. What's her next album going to be? 32?
27.
How old is she? Is she a big woman?
She brought, she, no, 25 was last year, or the year before, 2 years before that.
How old is it
so
now?
I think she's going to be like 28. I think she's 28. She's not that big, you know, she's our age.
Is it?
Yeah.
No, she can't be.
Nah, for real.
She's 31, fam.
She's 31?
She's a big old man.
No, 31 is low-key young, man. Don't we know 31-year-olds? We know people that are older than that.
That is actually true.
Yeah.
But like, I'm not there yet. So you're a big woman.
Are you not there like in
no,
a few...
No, I'm not.
Like you're there in like, what, 2 years?
I'm watching The Circle. on Channel 4.
Yeah.
It's a reality TV show.
Yeah.
It's actually really cool. 7 individuals go in. They don't meet each other. They don't see each other. They only communicate through this social media platform called The Circle.
Yeah.
Each week you can rate people. The highest rated people become influencers. And then they decide who they want to block from The Circle. It's so sick.
Yeah.
They decide who they want to block from The Circle. Then they block the people from The Circle. Somebody else comes in and replaces them. And it's just jokes because there's people in there who are playing themselves.
Yeah.
There's some people who aren't playing themselves.
Catfishes.
Catfishing people. Yeah. It's so jokes. You had one woman go in there pretending to be her son, who's 25, and she's a big 40-year-old woman.
Wow.
And so she had all her like notes in her book about, oh, okay, so I can say bear things. And
oh,
da-da-da.
Wow.
And so, but she lasted quite long. Like, really? I can't lie, she lasted quite a bit.
I'll just be myself.
She's really good. I think I'll go in there. I would be myself, actually. Because I'd be like, what's the point? But I would go in there for bants, though. Like, even if I didn't win the 50K or whatever, I'd be like, I'd actually go in there and just
cause
be
drama.
Savage.
Yeah.
Because then I don't know these people at the end of the day. And you probably don't, we'll never see them.
Possibly. But
until you get evicted or left, then you can see them at the end. I think they do like a whole thing where, oh, yeah, these are all the people that were in here.
That's hilarious.
There's one guy in there pretending to be a single mom with a baby. It's actually so jokes. It's really good.
Who would I be? You'd have to be somebody that people would like an architect. Oh, I'd be a middle class white woman.
That's what I mean. That's what people do. And like, oh, to see if there's any like difference in perception. Like,
give me your sympathy. Yeah. Hug me, please.
It's really good though. It's really good. I like it. Yeah. And that's what I've been watching. What else have I been watching? I haven't seen much. I put a pause on the Handmaid's Tale because it's just been stressing me. I haven't watched anything new. I watched Rap Game UK. That was on BBC Three.
Mm-hmm.
Kept and Conan. They did this UK-wide search for like rappers, male and female, and they compete to like win a place on their record label, Play Dirty. Really good, really good, really good, really good. Some really funny bits that come out of that. It really highlighted quite a bit about the music industry, about like women in the music industry as well, yeah, and even the rap game in the way that in the UK. It's really interesting, just the way that's changed and stuff, and how people are perceiving rap in the UK.
I will not be watching that, but
it's good.
I'll watch Handmaid's Tale because I watched it, but I watched it 2 years ago.
Yeah, I haven't watched any dramas lately, actually, because I feel like I've watched everything.
Really?
Yeah, I'm waiting for things to come back.
Oh, Suits has just finished, and the ending was really nice.
Big Mouth has come back.
Oh, the Good Place has come back.
Okay.
The first episode was shit.
Yeah. This Is Us is back.
Is it?
Yeah. So that's on season 4. So I'm going
to just watch that.
So I'm going to catch up with that today, yeah. Actually. I'm going to just sit in my room and just watch better things. And that's it, really. That's where I'm at. Like, I haven't really watched much.
I've been watching a lot because I haven't been writing.
Yeah.
I was supposed to, but I haven't.
I've been writing. Kind of.
Yeah.
I've just been sitting there looking at my laptop.
Honestly.
Hoping that the words just appear, to be honest. But yeah.
Right, so big announcement. We were going to announce this when we were going to announce it at the live show, and then obviously Az wasn't there, so we just had to push back a little bit. Yeah. But Mostly Lit recordings will, unfortunately, be ceasing.
Yeah.
For the immediate future, in terms of recording. Mm-hmm. So we will have our last episode coming out by the end of this month.
Yeah.
So end of this month will be our last episode. We've just got loads of other things to do. And we thought it'd be a great time to finish it at the end of Black History Month. Obviously, we still have our social media platforms. We have the Mostly Lit Twitter account, and we have the Mostly Lit email, and we'll still be posting on there. We will be doing a monthly newsletter that will have all your book recommendations, or, you know, anything film, theatre, anything that we're doing, keeping you abreast on literary issues. But with regards to recording, they will be stopping.
Mm-hmm.
For now.
Yeah.
We can't really give you a date as to, you know, when it'll come back. When that will change or whatever. But yeah, Mostly Lit will be, the podcast episodes will be stopping. But please do, like, continue to
listen, catch up on the old episodes. It's been a time. It's been a journey.
God, how long has it been?
It's been like
nearly four years.
From starting,
bam,
with the Shout Out Network, and then
to going solo,
to then joining Acast, to then, you know, being around and doing all these live shows and getting these awards and stuff. And
we're so grateful.
So happy that people are reading. Based on conversations that we're having, and all the other kind of literary people that have kind of like sprung up around, like looking at people like Black Girls Book Club and Night of and all of that stuff, and just seeing people talk about books more.
Like, the literary space is burgeoning, and we have been like so happy and grateful to have like been there throughout it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we started in 2016 recording when each of us were in such different places in our lives.
Different.
Like, I was studying.
Look, I introduced myself as Alexander Germain.
Shut up!
I remember that.
Oh my God.
So awkward. And I remember I had no idea what it was, what we were doing. Yeah. And it's been a huge, 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 like, point.
In our lives.
And, like, it's just been great. And, you know, we're just opening up, like, the door, I guess, just to kind of, like, explore other things and do other things. I want to say shout out to Clarissa Parby, who has kind of, like, made a lot of the stuff that we've done possible. Yeah. A lot of the awards that we got, she made the applications.
Yeah.
Like, you know, without that kind of support that we've had, we would never have, like, probably gotten as far as we did as quick. You know, kind of helping us curate the Cheltenham stuff. And just, like, being a bastion for someone, like, in the publishing industry, mm-hmm. and just kind of helping that that grow.
Yeah. Definitely. Like, from shout out.
Yeah, from shout out. Like, that first meeting. Like,
yeah.
Oh my God, like, you guys are amazing. Let's have a chat. And here we are. Like, you know what I mean? I remember she gave us like books that were like specific to each of us.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was nice.
And even shout out to Derek, like, because for those the second year within Mostly Lit and growing through that and kind of like helping with the socials and obviously bringing a lot of knowledge and stuff, his love for books as well to the mic and to the studio. Shout out to him.
It's a big moment.
And yeah, and he's got his book coming out in November. So guys, make sure that you shout out and check for that.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, and the Shout Out Network.
You know what? And the Shout Out Network.
In the Shout Out Network. Yeah. No, without them, this would not have started.
Honestly, so, like,
you know what I mean? No matter how that ended, Yeah.
And I think what I love is, like, when you look at, like, time.
Yeah.
And just how things shift and how things, like, move forward to accommodate, how things change to accommodate for this change. Mm-hmm. I like it. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy that because then it's like, that was a real journey.
Yeah.
And I think it's nice that we're doing, like, other things and we're moving on to other things. Yeah. But
it's just the...
We still love what we do.
Yeah, it's just the place we're at the moment. And
I think that's exactly what we kind of want to do with our own, like, respective things. Mm. Alex has his own podcast that he's working on, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to, like, I want to do my own podcast as well. So just...
Yeah.
Be around.
Thing is, and there'll be more information on all of those things coming very soon. It's just that at this stage, you just kind of need to put a pause here.
On the recordings,
Kind of put like a, what's it called? You know when they have the pin on the map?
Your location.
The pin
send
drop.
Send me the location.
Yeah, the pin drop right there.
Yeah.
I just want to say thank you to everybody.
Yes.
Make sure that we're going to create the newsletter to be monthly.
Yeah.
So if you already subscribed to the newsletter, we're working on that so that you can still get your monthly book recommendations and any tidbits that we're reading and things that we're doing, if you still want to be, like, caught up on that.
Yeah. We'll send out information about, like, signing up as well if you haven't signed up to the newsletter on our social media platforms and our next few recordings.
And we're still about.
We're still about.
Just out here, like, just lending on, pushing our energies into other places. But thank you to all the guests that we've had.
Oh, my God. Amazing.
So we've had, like, Mallory Blackman. We've had Lenny Henry. We've had everybody from Nights Off to... in the early days, Seeps to Ade, from Advice to JJ to Suli Breaks to, oh my God, there's so many names, like, don't want to have to read them off.
Tommy Adeyemi.
Candice Carty-Williams, Emma Gannon, we've had, you know, like, DeRay, all these people.
Oh my God! Wow.
All these people, all these conversations that we've had with people about their books, about writing, about podcasting, about all of that. And, like, I'm so, like, happy that I've been able to speak to these people about this stuff and trying to talk to them about, you know, what they've created and how they've created it. And then mostly it's the place that people came to speak to that.
Household name.
Yeah. And then, you know, and we're going to, like, you know, and it's not the end forever. But it's the end for now.
Yes.
So so make sure that you
guys. And we're literally doing so many other things outside. It'll almost feel like we haven't stopped.
Yeah. To be honest. But there's so much more coming. So guys, just keep up with what we're doing. Make sure you follow. Do make sure that you share stuff that we put out. Mm. And if you guys also have any books or anything that you want to share with us,
email us, DM us,
and we will make sure that we can find a way to share and keep the voice of, like, literature and writing and stuff going, because it's important. It's important that you guys continue to share the books that you've written with us.
At the crux of it, we started it because we both love books.
Yeah.
And I think that has always been the core thing. Like, we just love books.
Mm-hmm.
And so that has never changed and will continue.
And it's achieved a lot to make people actually want to listen to us talk about books.
Can you imagine? From like, random people.
From geeky kids who weren't, like, people didn't like us talking about books to hear... Everybody listening to us talk about books.
Like, going to different festivals,
shout out to Cheltenham and all of that stuff. And, you know, what's the other one?
We've just done so many.
London Podcast Festival, everything. So I just want to say thank you. Yeah. Thank you to everybody, the bookseller, for being an amazing support to everything we've done.
Yeah.
Acast, everything. So here's the pin being put in, the chapter. It ended. We just don't know what the blank pages following it are happening next. But
we'll keep you abreast of
this. We'll keep you abreast. And just want to say thank you so much and to keep posted. So
do
make sure. Oh, look out for the newsletter when we post it.
Yeah.
And is there anything else you want to add about the stuff you're doing or are you not going to announce yet?
Like, I've got a podcast coming out, but I'll just, you know, when that drops, I'll tell you guys.
Yeah.
And I'll share it on, like, the Mostly Lit channels and stuff. I'm writing, but I've been writing for so long. When this book comes out, guys, I'll be old, but I actually have no, I'm with the writing aspect, I'm very much taking my time. Like, I always tell people if it's until like when I'm 40, it won't be 40. Mm. But I'm taking my time on that. But definitely there's a podcast coming out for you. We're just like exploring different things and seeing like what we can do. It's like two Beyoncés finding their way out of Destiny's Child, but then obviously making sure that the reunion is still coming.
We have the reunion tour.
Well, we have the reunion tour because like we've done so much like we've grown as like friends. Mm. Like family, like ask me why I'm in Alex's house right now. His mum is gonna make me food downstairs in a bit. He's like, "Oh, do you want food?" I'm like, "Yeah, of course I do."
Even though she missed the delivery,
my delivery. I'm so annoyed. And I told you this. I was like, "What time are we recording? What time do I come around to?" Because you know, Alex lives in West London, guys. I'm actually tired.
Okay, with me, my podcast is changing name to Time to Talk.
So much change.
It's Time to Talk with Alex Reads. And that will all, like everything else with regards to the trailer, and that will be announced, you know, probably would have been announced by now by the time this goes out, or will be announced in coming time. And
everyone's busy.
And tired. Jobs. You know Ray? I've got stress in my back.
I'm so sorry. You can't get it like stepped on.
I need a chiropractor. I need to be like pulled.
I find it really uncomfortable watching those videos. Yeah. People love it.
I love it. It's like ASMR for me.
Oh no! See, I love ASMR.
Oh no!
Like,
I don't.
Oh my god! I love it.
I like watching back cracks and neck cracks.
To me, I'm like, what if they die?
This is what I'm saying. If you see the comments, are so funny. They're like, oh, like he said, oh,
one little wrong move.
But he's like, they're like, oh, he says, how does that feel? And they say, oh, silence. Oh, he's dead. I'm like,
I love ASMR.
But they're chiropractors. So it's not like they're just doing it.
I'm sorry, occupational hazard. You could literally mess someone's, you can ruin someone's nerve they're now disabled.
I'm sure it's like
they're paralyzed.
But I'm sure it's like 5 years of like training.
I don't care how much you're training.
They are doctors as well.
Doctors kill people too.
Yeah, but still.
Doctors kill people too. Anyway, I don't know how we got to that.
Unclick me. Click me out. Anyway, guys, so that's all.
This is so great. It's coming at this time because I'm starting my new role.
New role, new job.
New job. So I'm like, oh, this is perfect. Because I know being an associate was going to kill me.
A winter is coming.
Winter is actually coming.
Winter is coming.
But anyway. Oh, my God.
But anyway, guys, shout out. Thank you so much.
We love y'all.
Love you guys so much. Over and out.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.